is no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. We have managed to live through 5 days of Halloween.
Oh, it's 3 days.
And it's...
Well, when did you start your Halloween?
Technically, I started Halloween in August.
In
my own
days.
My own body. But now this is the day 9 of Halloween, and I do love it. But now my body is like, I'm ready. I am becoming a pumpkin, but a Thanksgiving pumpkin.
Ooh, did you have a Reese's Pieces? Did you have a Reese's peanut butter cup? Did you have anything Reese's related?
What? What are you
all
talking
right.
about? Are you just, are you a cloud of just man? Are you a cloud? Are you a person?
I'm a chocolate peanut buttery blustery mix right now, folks.
What was your favorite part of spending Halloween together?
Reese's Pieces. And also the party that we went to, the second party had Papa John's. And I haven't had Papa in a while. So that was in my tummy there.
The best part of your entire night was the old Papa John's.
Yes,
that
and
you
the
found
Reese's
at
Pieces.
The party that we had at night. That's it. None of the people that we met. None of the fun that we had.
We met Barbara Crampton.
She's
an icon. And I'm going to say this right now, Henry. You scared her less than you scared your other female icon, which is the gal from The X-Files, Gillian Anderson.
Yes, I did scare her less. But the thing was, is that by the time I met Barbara Crampton, I had eaten a bunch of mushrooms. And I was in the clown outfit. And by the time I was trying to speak to Barbara Crampton, I realized I was becoming the evil clown that I was in front of her. You know what I mean? There was
absolutely
no charm left. There was no...
Oh, that was the beginning of the night. That was peak charm.
It wasn't. Obviously
well, you
not.
Did a great job. The pictures were indeed horrifying.
Yeah, the costume was good.
But then.
I felt like once I was in there, like now I realized like, oh, now I'm tripping balls. Like now I'm here. And then I saw her and I just want to be like, Barbara, big fan.
That's all
I saw in my head. I'm big fan, Barbara. And I didn't want to scare the hell out of her.
No,
because I'm also frightening in appearance. But then you figured of any of the women in the world that would be used to people in frightening costume, it would be her, right?
Absolutely. Again,
because she didn't seem scared of you. She touched you.
Horror icon, indeed. I wasn't dressed quite as scary as you are and were, but I was indeed Share Bear, one of the fantastic Care Bears. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. Ben hanging out with Henry. What a weekend it has been.
You were the Share Bear?
I believe it was Share Bear. That's the one with the heart on it. I'm pretty certain. I'm getting a positive nod from Fernando. He does not lie. So, yes,
Share
I was
Bear,
sure.
I thought Share Bear is the only Care Bear that got DP'd.
Well, you never know what's going to happen. And again, isn't sharing caring,
do you think
especially
that they have,
with family and friends?
Do you think they fuck? How are more Care Bears made? Are they made by just God? Are those God's poops?
No. Care Bears do have natural sex. I believe that they can have vaginal sex. I'm pretty sure they're not been mutilated by these women who run the Westminster Dog Show. So I think they can just have natural sex and they don't have to be bred. I'm sure there's a lot of Care Bear lore out there. If you really want to Google Care Bear sex,
I'm sure you can
find a lot of stuff. But
Care
I'm going to tell
Bear
you this
sex.
Right now.
I'm putting
Share
incognito
Bear.
Mode on. I'm putting incognito mode before I do this, before... Right.
It's a myth, by the way. The FBI wants to get in, they'll
get in.
I'm
hiding it for myself.
Okay, well, that's good.
Care Bear sex. All right, like the Care Bear in the Urban Dictionary is a sexual act where the following occurs. The guy sits on the toilet naked. His girl straddles on top and face towards him while naked. The guy put his dick inside the girl.
Uh-huh.
But I guess it's supposed to
What does that have to do with caring or
the
being
guy
a bear?
I don't know. A guy shits while having sex with a woman on the toilet.
That's called doing the Care Bear?
That's called the Care Bear, according to the internet.
Why does childhood have to be ruined with every click of a key from the internet?
And also the imagery. I just clicked onto the image tabs.
Yeah, were you wondering what that would look like?
It's not
good. Were you surprised?
I don't like it. I also feel like, because I always thought that the Care Bears were like Jesus in nature.
No.
Were they like, are they not Christian?
No, they had a whole series of magical powers. My parents didn't even like the Care Bears. It was too mysterious and mystical, much like why they don't allow Harry Potter to be in the house still, even though my younger brother, is 30 years old, and they still reject the powers of Harry Potter.
I mean,
even though they probably agree with a lot of what their creator says. But anyway, speaking of bathrooms, I had this epiphany yesterday.
Oh, great.
I was at one of my bars there, and I was watching the Green Bay Packers. Oh, squeak out a loss to the Buffalo Bills.
Well, they lost again.
Yeah, they lost. They always lose. Isn't that funny?
They used to be, though. But Kissel, didn't they used to be really good?
They were good. And then there's something about ayahuasca, and I'm all, open your mind, open your mind.
This is my main football grudge, is that he needs to get back to playing football.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers needs to get back to fucking get your head in the game. Think about balls. Think about running plays. Don't sit and think about, I don't need to hear your opinions from your pretty little head.
Don't need to hear it. And quite frankly, sometimes if you're in the midst of a football season, close the third eye. We don't care. Does it affect you getting this 10-yard play in order to have a first down right now? No, it does not.
If he won every game, I'd hang on his every word. But sure. He's not winning, so no, his opinions don't matter.
It is like, I swear to God, not any dissing on anyone, but once you start going on Rogan and you're an athlete, next thing you know, what's the difference between a touchdown or an interception? Either way, someone's catching the ball. And isn't it about a communal, aren't we doing this together? It's like, no, we're not.
No, we're not.
I have an aggressive alcohol need, and it makes me happier when I'm drinking to see you win.
Yes, but guess what, man? He wants to lose. Now he knows, because in his head, he's like, well, if I lose, eventually I could stop playing football and I can go do a bunch of other dumb shit, whatever the hell else he wants to do in his stupid love life. He's going to end up selling cars.
Well, he can do whatever. Actually, that does happen quite often, and there's big money in little cars. Anyway, what I was thinking about this, I'm in the bathroom, right? And right. I look down into the toilet. There's someone else's pee in there. And you know what? And I realized this is the most egotistical thing that everybody does.
Letting it mellow?
No. It's because before you pee, you flush the toilet because you don't want to pee on somebody else's pee. And I think that that's rude, and I think it's wrong, and I think it's something we all need to work on.
I think it's something you do. I'll just piss on the piss that's there.
If there's a big turd in there.
I leave. You're going to leave. If there's piss in there, I will piss on the piss. If there is poop in there, I find a different stall. I don't handle your shit. Right. That's not for me. That's some other cuck who comes in there that feels the need to flush for somebody else. I don't flush for anybody else.
But isn't that something we all do when we see there's someone else's pee in the toilet? Yuck, I don't want to pee on that person's pee. Isn't that egotistical? So don't we have to work on that?
What are you talking? So this is what you came in with today.
This was my epiphany.
This was your material. It's an epiphany. But again, sure, an epiphany, but I feel I'm the opposite.
But isn't that bizarre?
You just brought that up as if that was a general axiom.
Oh, I think,
and you don't know.
Email us at storieslpotelli. You know the email at this point, folks. Email us. Let us know. Do you flush it if it's someone else's pee? Because again, most people do, including the most global conscious gals out there.
Honestly, this is your paranoia talking. Because you think in your head, how dare someone not piss on somebody else's piss? When I'm certain, because you just talked to one. You just asked one person. And I just said,
that's not a sample size.
Yeah, it is. I'm as close to you as anybody could ever possibly be. You're an unknowable sphinx.
Yes.
And I am a person. I am of the people, right? I'm the common man.
Well, you're flipping the roles. But I do think we are common in so many ways. But I do think that was interesting when the way I was thinking about that the other night.
You did. You think it's interesting. But I don't know if it's an axiom. I don't think anybody thinks like that. I think everybody pisses on the piss.
We just don't know, do we? Also, I was doing, I love a good tequila. Okay, well, let's talk. Do you want to do this one?
What are you talking? What are you fucking talking? We're getting worse at radio.
Yes, we are. No, I listened to Kevin and Sluggo on the way over. We're still doing just fine. Kevin and Sluggo covered a story that we covered, and I always like when traditional radio covers its story that we covered. It was the looking good. The looking good ghost from the house from Gainesville. But we covered it better. They were too mean, I thought. Sluggo, come on. Anyway, speaking of ladies.
First of all, the lady of the dunes, Massachusetts' oldest unidentified murder victim, has been named. They found her through, I'm not quite certain how they ended up finding her. This is Ruth Marie Terry. She was 37. She was from Tennessee. She was found dead. We now know 1 mile east of the Race Point Ranger Station on July 26th, 1974.
Here is, do you stop aging after death? Or is she, in fact, 87?
No, she's 37. When you're dead, that's when your clock stops.
So you're 37 forever.
you're 37 forever, but to everybody, but you're dead.
Okay.
So that's as far as you made it. So she, they said it was blunt force trauma. This was, now this is an old unidentified case. They've been talking about this for a long time. I believe that this was also connected vaguely to Henry Lee Lucas for a hot second. There was a couple of people. There's a couple of people tied to this, but that I don't think ended up playing out. They did end up finding this was through quote unquote investigative genealogy. This is another one of those that they found the DNA through various family members that had entered their DNA into things like 23andMe to, and eventually it led to this person where they got a ping on her DNA.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen some videos 23andMe. And I have to say, what a DNA test that would be. So anyway, she is now known, and I guess that's good for the family. It took a long time. So there you go. So anyway, I'm not really sure exactly where to go with it. It's not a happy ending.
No,
now
I mean,
you know her name. Now it's almost actually worse.
Well, there's closure. I think closure does help people. I have heard the term closure. I guess people I don't understand it in relationships because eventually just like, just leave. Who gives a fucking shit? Get the hell out of here.
Right.
Why are you still talking to me? But when it comes to an actual, like the family wants to know that they have their person. Because I feel like that's a thing that, like, you know, Caitlin Dowdy talks a little bit about this. Like, yeah, your friend is dead. And now, obviously, your family member is dead. And it's sad, right? Because the person's gone. But you still have the meat. And there's something about having the meat still for a lot of people that makes them feel peace. Because, like, that's still your friend, right? That's still your family member. They can't play checkers anymore.
But you don't know
what they're doing on the other side.
Slightly macabre about the entire thing, and obviously we dabble in the world of macabre. Reminds me of serial killers. Sometimes they'll take a trophy, like that one killer we talked about that stole the fingers.
Yes.
I believe that was Fred West. One of the most disgusting couples of all time. But if you are alone out there, they found each other.
They found each other.
Can find love.
Take those. How many times have we said this on the show? Take those expectations. Dial them down to a zero.
Maybe
you'd be
dial them
down. You'd be really surprised your dick.
Or dial them up to 600 because I was just watching 3 back-to-back episodes of My 600-Pound Life, all of them in relationships. Fantastic.
All you got to do is be there. You just got to sometimes just be alive.
Absolutely. But isn't it interesting? It's almost like it's like a trophy in a way where people, they'll carry a vial of blood from a deceased relative or lover.
Yes.
And I find that to be a little strange. I really do. Well, but I also understand. But it's adjacent to a serial killer collecting toes.
I think that we have ignored that process of life, and we think that it's very scary, and we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to deal with it because it's gonna come for us all. The Grim Reaper, he and his scythe comes for each one of us. And but I think it scares people, and they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to think about it. They kind of like this idea that like, oh, Grampy's in heaven with Beethoven and shit. But honestly, no.
Beethoven's not in heaven, bro.
No, Grampy's over there. He's got a fucking bench over him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but and all those stories that Grandpa didn't tell you about the war is why he's also not in heaven.
He's down in hell. Vietnam sends men to hell. It's scary.
But anyway.
You know who's not going to hell? They found her. She's done. It's good. Congrats.
Good work.
Good work, 23, I guess.
87 years fun. Is also the 23andMe thing. You know, I mean, I'm just so... If you're the Golden State Killer, you really do have to be kind of upset with the relative that did 23andMe.
Of course.
Also, I mean, I kind of love the idea, but there's a series of horrible crimes that are very unsolved, and there's a 90-year-old right now shaking in his boots.
That's like, what I like.
Oh, they're going to find out I killed 85 people in 72.
I think
and
that's
I
important.
Hope they do.
I really think that if one thing, it's an invasion of privacy, blah, blah, blah. But if it can serve one piece of good, it's that there are people out there that have committed crimes that have not been caught and that every day they get to relive in fear. And that's the most you can do is make these 9-year-olds afraid for the rest of their lives. I mean, they already are.
Oh, yeah.
But then
absolutely.
Make them extra afraid. Make them afraid of going to jail. I think more nanas and papus need to be afraid of getting fucking hardcore busted.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it might be nice to have a nice little decorator there in the jails. Home.
Speaking of hardcore busted, this is really sad, though, because I think that this person didn't. How is this a crime? Let's put this in that category. So the North Somerset GIMP, the sightings, there has been somebody who's been arrested in the process. Now, we've covered this over the last couple of years. It seems to be there is a guy that walks around. What is this? The North Somerset Park, part of this is in the UK, mm-hmm. right? And they finally got somebody. So they arrested a dude that they, I believe, let me see if they actually named him. I don't know if they actually named him. That'd be kind of like even upset if they didn't know. It was just a man in his 30s. That's what the BBC does well. I mean, in the, at least that's like one of those things they do well in the UK is that they don't name their criminals until they've got them, right? That they try not to.
They try because you are technically innocent until proven guilty.
Yes.
And of course, the perp walk and the idea of guilt is very easy to instill in people's minds. And that is why it flips our entire legal system on its head so many times. But just when it comes to GIMP, right, just to sort of clarify what that means, this man was covered in mud. He was wearing blue latex gloves and he was in a head to toe dark bodysuit. Now, I'm kind of with you, Henry. He was a public nuisance, I guess. He's been doing this for 3 years. But unless I'm wrong, I think he just stands there and freaks people out.
This is the thing. So I don't even know. This is the thing, too. Well, they don't even know if this is the GIMP.
Oh, right? You think there might be multiples?
There was a guy. So the GIMP suit, the original guy, was seen in a full leather. You know, it's like a $350 GIMP suit. Because I looked into one. Right?
I'll tell you one thing. That's why fetishes, it really does depend on what's your economic status. Because sometimes, you can do any organic fetish you want. That's free stuff. I'm making it right now.
You can steal a bunch of strawberries from the grocery store and shove them up your ass. And that's free.
No problem. Absolutely. You'd be Chris Farley, shove a tomato up your butt, call yourself a human salad, do whatever you want. But my God, $300+ for a GIMP suit. And then how many times can you use it?
Well, I think with the GIMP suit is, because you can clean leather, but it's an investment. It's for you're thinking of your family, and you get it all in there.
Henry Thomas, come in the room. This GIMP suit's going to pay for your college.
Yeah. Can you zip me? Henry Thomas, can you zip me?
I had to do that yesterday with Sina Ghaznavi Saturday at our party because my Care Bear is zipped in the back, my little offense. So does
he. I told him he had one set of zippies because he was like, will you zip me every single time he was going to the bathroom? Because then he popped the seal and then he went to the bathroom like 15 times. But then I was just like, I can't keep unzipping you, okay? Where is my wife? Where is my... But so the GIMP suit was like, he'd stand right there, but he wore an official one, right? Like he wore a hardcore one and he'd just stand and people got afraid. And the cops, their reaction is be like, it's not all he's doing a crime. It's not a crime. He's just creating a sense of inherent fear. It's inherent fear he's spreading, which you're like, who gives a shit? Number one. Yeah. Well, welcome to America. First of all, fucking get with the program. I don't know what to tell you. But also, he's just standing there. He's just standing there. And yet he just looks weird. He looks creepy, sure. But the guy that they got, the reason why they got him is that he approached a teenager, right? This is where it gets it. So he approached a teenager. And so the guy was not wearing the full GIMP suit. It seemed that he was wearing some form of normal unitard type gear because he had latex gloves on and he had covered himself in some form of crud. Some sort of white mud crud.
Yes.
Because the guy also will say, because according to the police officer, his outfit was shiny with some sort of liquid and he was glistening in the torchlight and he smelt really earthy after he'd gone. You could still smell it because you could tell that he was covered in mud. But you notice they didn't say he smelled like shit.
No, he smelled very earthy.
He smelled earthy.
Yeah, absolutely, like so many of these wonderful organic mothers all around Arizona. Now, earthy. I will say, in this scenario, he wasn't just standing there. He did do something that our friend Holden McNeely might do and did do as a child. So once he's talking to this 19-year-old witness, who again, I don't know, man. I'd be like, dude, you're in a GIMP suit. Just kind of crazy.
I don't think I would be scared.
I'd be like, you're being crazy.
There's a guy. I would laugh. I feel like in the end, if I was 19 years old and I saw a guy come out of the thing covered in mud and fall down on the ground, start twitching back and forth, I'd laugh.
That's how you became friends with Holden McNeely, and that's how Murder Fist, your sketch group, started.
Yes.
So he was, quote, unpredictable, flopping to the floor, writhing and grunting. That's what he told. That's what the teenager told BBC News.
I just love that he's the crime is that he's unpredictable.
Unpredictable. Again. Why is this a crime? How is this a crime? So the teenager then said the man took a step on the pavement, arched his body and flopped to the ground without putting his hands out to catch himself.
It's fun. It's Halloween.
I know. It's fun.
It's just he's being creepy. Yeah. All right, but was he hard? Did he touch him? No.
No. And again, this would not be a case of victim blaming because I'm not sure what the crime is.
I don't know what the crime is. How can we live our lives if just being creepy and weird is bad?
Then the teenager, he tells BBC News, I don't want this guy to be seen as a boogeyman, but this kind of thing, this invisible threat that he
what
could be anywhere.
What are you talking about?
It's indirectly causing fear.
What? It is just a guy being stupid. He's just being stupid, man.
You can't, indirectly causing fear is what I do every day as I'm just walking and you're scared of me and I've done nothing wrong.
You know what's
not
actual,
a crime.
You know legalize what real, Ben. I seriously, legalize being a gimp. A public gimp.
Fly from your grave.
If there's a foreign language that you regret not learning in school, like Klingon or Elvish, it's never too late to start with Babbel, the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions. Thanks to Babbel's addictively fun and easy bite-sized language lessons, you can finally cross learning that new language off your list. Learn how to talk to Superman's father. With Babbel, you only need 10 minutes to complete a lesson. Bing, bam, boom. You can do it while you're cleaning your pants. You can start having real-life conversations in a little as 3 weeks. I mean, it's going to be weird waiting that long while they're sitting in front of you, but they'll learn. Babbel lessons were created by over 150 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, not computers, not these so-called computers. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you improve your pronunciation and accent. Look at me, I'm perfect. In addition to lessons, you can access podcasts, excellent games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Meet the teachers. Be real nosy about it, all right? Because I'll let you know, I was just in Paris, France, and if it wasn't for Babbel, I wouldn't have learned incredible words like, sir, the shop is so small. Please let me out, sir. Sir, can I use the toilet? Because what I've discovered with Babbel is that if you just yell the word toilet loud enough, eventually they show you one, no matter what country you're in. Because right now, get up to 55% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/left. That's babbel.com/left for up to 55% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life.
Hi, I'm Jackie Zabrowski.
And I'm MJ.
And I'm Holden from the Page 7 podcast, and we're going on tour!
That's right, we're touring all up in this mother-freaking country.
I'm fake cursing, so whatever, Jackie. Just say the filthy F-word already.
And we will say the filthy F-word when we come to your town.
That's right, we're coming to Texas, the Midwest, the Northeast, and then right back here in Cali, baby.
For ticket links and more details, visit lastpodcastnetwork.com.
That's right, lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Page 7 and Wizard and the Bruiser present
Release the Butthole Cut!
Wait, that's really what we're calling the tour?
Absolutely. Release the Butthole Cut. For more information, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
You know what actually is, you know what causes fucking inherent fear and fucking an air of invisible fear? The one thing I will say is the scientists found a potentially hazardous asteroid. I was hiding in the sun's glare. And so that causes me inherent
fear.
Well,
that's very scary. But what are we going to do? We don't have asteroid gloves. We don't have handcuffs. Also, was it dressed in a large leather asteroid gimp suit?
No.
Because that might change everything.
Finally.
According to the Somerset Police, no one has been physically harmed during any of these incidents. But we know that they have caused concern to the local community. And they are determined to identify the individual or individuals responsible to stop them. I'm going to say this right
now.
They ain't doing nothing wrong.
No.
Do we want to live in a cookie-cutter world? Do we want to live in Germantown, Wisconsin, which is a real town that made all the houses look like they were from Germany in the 1920s?
Technically, that sounds fun, but I like the Bavarian side of it, but not what all the Bavarian stuff led to.
It's not even living in a Lego village. It's living in a play school village. It's or a Playmobil village. It's as generic as it gets. No one has any expression on their faces. I say more gimps, more fun. Have a good time with it. We got to strengthen these kids up. 19-year-old at the very least. I mean, you do have the right at this point also to like punch him in the head. Have fun with it. Be 19.
I also now understand a little bit more about the UK and England in general to know that this was in the southern part of England, which is supposed to be like the modern part. It's supposed to be the part. It's not all country and weird and like and haunted like the Isle of Man in Yorkshire. Right. It's supposed to be like with it, you know, it's like because in the end, wouldn't it be fun? Think about this. Instead of prosecuting these gimps. Put them together and have them form a volunteer fire brigade.
Absolutely.
The GIMP fire, like, activate your GIMPs. Get all the GIMPs they together.
They
want to
do something, obviously.
Why don't you say, hey, listen, if you're out wandering in neighborhoods at night, make sure nobody's robbing us.
Absolutely.
Be the neighborhood watch that would actually be effective because then people would see all the pack of GIMPs walking around and they might think, so they might think twice about coming to your home because especially because to get through the GIMP, you're going to have to spank each one, one by one.
They think I'm in the shadows, but I am the shadows.
I am the shadows.
Although I will say in Kira Elston case, it seems like, again, if there are freelance multiple GIMPs, some might be more dangerous than others. This is why it's very scary to go to haunts.
Everything, man. There's fucking like half the police officers are literal murderers. So yeah, a group of the fucking GIMPs might. But a collective,
and then they're gonna have to self-regulate because she says her experience was terrifying. She says she's got an image in her head of this dude walking towards her and staring.
He's just staring there. He's just standing.
Well, in this case, he was touching his groin, grunting and breathing heavily. Again, nothing that Holden hasn't done when he was a child in North Carolina.
Mean?
But
this is the thing, though. I'm not gonna doubt this woman, but at the same time. What does she mean by holding crotch and grunting? Or did Gimp Man just have an itch? I mean, that's why I'm going to be his lawyer. I'm going to represent him. I'm going to buy one of those wigs. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to like, and I'm going to show up in a gimp suit so everyone could, I can normalize it for the court.
Well, you could show up in your wingman suit, which is a fantastic suit that you have.
Yeah.
With the big old, it's kind of a Mothman type, your bat wings. But anyway, what will be interesting in this, I think if you're the cops, you just got to sit him down and you almost got to sit him down in what looks to be like a nice 1983 living room and just be like, son, what's going on? Like,
let's think
about this. Because I don't know what the crime is and they have yet to tell us what the crime is.
But I feel like if I was the father of my renegade GIMP son, I would then, we have learned, Kissel, the power of elder millennials, right? Bordering on Gen X. We take the things that they think is cool, that the young kids are cool.
Now I'm
doing
it.
We start doing it. Now it's not so fun anymore. So if dad finds out that the son is being a professional gimp and walking around, dad should get a gimp suit and say, no, son, we can be gimps together. And then see how it all goes. Be like, absolutely. Oh, you want to hear your father grunt as he gets spanked while he's encased in leather? This is your lifestyle, son. I'm trying to understand you. I'm trying to be with you.
Yep. And your son will go and start, I don't know, becoming a doctor or a judge or whatever, a butcher, anything other than a man dressed in a gimp suit who just hangs out in what seems to be sparsely.
It's just a town. It's just little houses.
It's just a town with not a lot of people in it.
Just nice little places. And you go there and you go get your eggs. They'll put them in the refrigerator there. They don't do it because they got different processes.
Well, this is my question. Yes, go on.
Do you rather, okay, this is the story that's just really more about a change in careers late in life. And tell me what you think is worse. There's a man by the name of Chris DeFlorio. He served, I love this, exactly DeFlorio. The perfect name, DeFlorio. He served in the NYPD for 19 years.
Great.
But he has retired, right? Because now he's a demonologist.
Love it.
He has revealed some of these terrifying encounters. He's been talking about this. He's now, what he does is he travels from town to town in a tour. You can go buy tickets to his show, Chris DeFlorio, demonologist, and he will arrest the fucking ghosts in your body.
You know, I'm happy that this guy, number one, I guess you do get to retire after 19 years on the force. That's kind of why it's a good profession. Hopefully he didn't do too many horrific things. The NYPD has an interesting history. When it comes to ghosts, however, he might be able to use his powers of detection for good.
He might.
But the problem is You can't plant ghost evidence. You can't plant ghost crack on any ghost bodies. So it's going to make his job. This is probably, he's no doubt in my mind, actually, he's doing more legitimate detective work as a demonologist than he did as an NYPD police officer.
But you better be careful with these demonologists, because there's a couple bad apples in there, and you don't want it to turn to a dab as well. All demonologists are bastards. It's a funny little joke. Now, DeFlorio, he says that you got to be careful, right? You got to be careful because he says these ghosts, evil forces, they've attempted to physically hurt me many times. One guy, would you even believe, he pushed me down a flight of stairs. I injured my hamstring.
Right? Oh, my goodness.
And then another instance, he said a spirit tried to run him off the road when he was driving. I think that spirit's first name was Jack. And his last name was Daniel.
Oh, my goodness. Well, a childhood friend of a homeowner whose home is haunted has said that there's a lot of poltergeist activity where this man did an investigation.
You say his name is correctly. That is 43-year-old communication specialist Sean Douche. This is not even, that is not a bit.
He's Douche, but you know he goes by Deucey. It's Douche. It's the big Douche man.
Sean Douche. He told the newspaper, right? So, there were a lot of weird things happening in my house. There was some kind of poltergeist activity. That paranormal activity movie, it wouldn't shut off. Maybe because I couldn't figure out the Apple TV. But there was a lot of weird things happening. The security system that went on and off. Objects were flying. My friend, he was embarrassed by this. It wasn't something he would talk about. He didn't want anybody to think he was crazy. Right?
I do love, this is the most Italian response to a haunting. It's just embarrassment. What is this going to do to the family?
What is this going to do to the family? When
it's like, this is not your, it's not embarrassing.
You're not the Sopranos.
Okay. No, it's fine.
They're not coming for you. Like, the Lucianos are going to know we're weak. They're going to come. There's going to be a war. Be like, no, there's not going to be a mob.
Doesn't matter. This really isn't about your petty Italian feuds that you have all over the neighborhood where everyone from the outside thinks are all the same anyway. So stop fighting.
This is great. Sean recounts another terrifying episode on the road he would never forget.
We were on a 2-lane highway, and my friend, he started driving erratic, right? We were going to drive, either driving in traffic or off the road, and I asked him, what's happening? What are you doing? My friend says, there's something in me that is trying to kill us. Then I started yelling, you stop the car! Stop the car! I'll drive! I don't know if it was the devil, but it was some spirit. I saw my friend's personality changed and made him want to try to drive us up the road. I don't know what it was.
It was edibles, my friend, because I have been in the back of a cab when the edibles hit, and I'm like, I'm going to roll out of here. I think this guy's trying to kill me. They are just the funnest little drunks.
Oh, God. And I think that's... He said he went back to his buddy's place, right? Or his buddy's place who was haunted. This is where he's talking about his friend's place who's haunted. And he said, look, this is the thing. It's like, okay, I went in their house. And upstairs, I heard there was a guitar playing, right? And it was singing as I was resting. Or I was trying to rest in my room. And then I started realizing I heard multiple voices singing. I said, hey, and I yelled up. I was like, what is happening with you? What is going on? And my friend, he turns to me and he says, I just picked up this guitar. And said, I know it sounds weird, but I feel like someone is moving my hand when I play this song. I'm learning new songs, didn't even know how to play. Now, I told my friend, we were talking about it in the morning, and then I was going to bed. I was freaking out. I didn't sleep the entire night. I had Christian music playing the whole time just to calm down. What is happening?
His friend was just learning guitar, and he didn't realize that his brain was learning. He's like, something's going on. Something's not right. I feel like I'm learning.
I love these characters. There's just all such tremendous douche
Italian
friends.
Italian Amityville needs to happen. This cop turned demonologist, he will have a movie where he is the there will be an actor playing him, and judging by the look of him, it's going to be a great day for Italian casting in Hollywood.
Dude, holy fucking shit. Chris DeFlorio, cop demonologist, he says he doesn't even do the exorcisms.
Well, who does it then?
He outsources them.
This is the most Italian. This
is the most New York shit. And he said that his buddy from Maine, right? He said he was through a mutual connection. He said, and his buddy from Maine was like, oh, I think I'm possessed,
right? And DeFlorio was just like, okay, he was demonomically possessed or whatever, right? The demon inhabited. This is word for word. My thing is, I don't do exorcisms. I call on exorcists when I need them. And this turned into a case of demonic possession before our eyes. Unintentionally, he brought the demonic spirit in until someone came in and they burned the tarot cards. Because apparently the guy came in and he burned tarot cards saying that he was being inhabited by this demon that was making him do it.
Absolutely. And of course, that was perhaps what led to the demon attaching itself to a wonderful Victorian style home. I have to say one thing about demons. Great taste in homes. Man, I believe that we were at a Victorian-style home this past weekend at one of the parties we went to. And Oh my God, do I love a good Victorian. Very nice.
That's my favorite.
So there you go. If you're currently incarcerated right now and your arresting officer was Chris DeFlorio, how dumb do you feel?
I mean, this whole thing literally blames, on the main story, it blamed on the guy said he bought a cursed desk. And he opened up the desk and had tarot cards in it. And then the tarot cards, like, put a demon in him through the thing. And then he calls up his buddy, Chris DeFlorio, who's just like, hey, don't worry, I got a guy. And then it's like, that's all he does. He's just a guy who's got a guy.
Well, that, of course, is the DeFlorio way. Well, speaking of, really no non sequitur here. This story is actually horrifying. Being buried alive.
This is one of the things I had
a nightmare about a year ago about being buried alive, and I still wake up in sweats.
It scares the shit out of me. I just watched VHS 99.
Oh, and so
there
good.
It's fucking real good. But yeah. There's one of those in that, like, there's a scenario which just scares the living shit out of me. It really creeped me out. It was really great.
There was a Washington state woman. She was allegedly buried alive in the woods by her estranged husband. Yeah, estranged would be the right word.
Estranged would be the word, yeah.
So she ended up escaping at 1 o'clock in the morning. She says, my husband is trying to kill me. She screamed, that was according to court documents. She had duct tape still wrapped around her neck, lower face, and ankles. There was extensive bruising to her legs, arms, and head, yes. And her clothing and her hair were covered in dirt. Jesus Christ.
You really have to be careful, number one, who you marry. That's a big thing. And also, you got to keep digging because this woman managed to dig herself out. Her husband, Che Kyung An, is now facing a slew of charges because they're coming for him. First degree attempted murder, first degree kidnapping, first degree assault. And then also they give him an A for grave digging.
Well, which is kind of really something.
That's kind of like, at least they showed it. But he drugged her. Apparently they were in the middle of a divorce, right? There was a police in Lacey. It was about 60 miles west of Seattle. They responded Sunday afternoon to this woman's home after receiving a 911 call of a woman screaming who sounded gagged, right? So he drugged her food. And this is, I guess, after they had to get it turned into a long extended argument about their ongoing divorce and the money settlement and shit like that. And he said that he drugged her. He then duct taped her head, her eyes, and the ankles. And then, but I guess the 911 call came from her Apple Watch.
Oh, interesting. Okay, Apple Watch.
It's a commercial.
He also stabbed her in the chest. I know Apple Watch does have some commercials where the person will be like, I slipped. Okay, thank you, Apple Watch. This will be one that they could run during the Halloween season.
Yes. And, do you remember the emergency, like, I fell and I can't get up?
They could not get up. I do remember that. And that was Life Alert.
I kind of want one now. It'd be kind of cool to just call the cops anytime you want. That's what you got to do if you're in a rough neighborhood, wear a Life Alert, like, little necklace, and then you can get the cops to show up looking split.
Absolutely. I'm not sure if it still works or not. But so once she was buried and put in the ground, a heavy tree was put on top of her. After being put into the ground, she could hear her husband walking around the hole. And she could hear dirt being put on top of her. Anyway,
but you have to be thinking about this. They found her. It's kind of crazy that they found her. I can't believe. And then, like, she said that she squirmed around while she was in the hole and managed to free her face enough to breathe. And then, like, she just did it. She just wiggled and wiggled and wiggled. Which is what I've said time and time again. That is how you get out of these scenarios, is that you got to be like a croc, dude. You got to be like a wet ass anaconda, man. You could, like, keep snapping. Snap that butt. Yeah. Snap them legs. Kick and scream and bite.
I've seen a couple of YouTube videos about how to escape handcuffs. And then whenever you are handcuffed, you're like, well, what was that video all about again?
Dude, you flex the whole thing. It's the Harry Houdini trick. When you flex, You flex so that your wrists are bigger when they're in there, and then you relax.
I think the cops know that now, and they punch you in the stomach real fast, and then when you're relaxed, they
now they do the zip ties, which is extremely difficult to get out.
It is. But anyway, according to her, she said that she says that he told her he would rather kill her than give her his retirement money. So he'll enjoy a great retirement behind bars. Thank God that she got out. How insane.
Do you think she gets the money either way?
I think that she deserves something, yeah, at this point, yes, because of the buried alive thing.
But do you think that that happens? Like, when you go I imagine now, like, they'll get divorced.
I would think so.
Yeah, I think now they're going to go through with it.
It wasn't like one of those weekends where they refound love. It's not the Parent Trap where they wanted to get back together and the kids really helped. No, I think the divorce is more than final at this point. I don't even think they have to go through the paperwork. You know,
if someone does that, like, do you still have to go? Sidestories@lpotl@gmail.com. If you're a lawyer, if you're a divorce lawyer that's ever dealt with this, if you're in the middle of the divorce and your spouse tries to kill you but doesn't get you, right? Doesn't get you. Can you get the marriage annulled and not have to go through the processes?
I don't think you want it annulled, though, because, again, then I don't think you get the money. So she deserves this retirement money.
But do you still have to go to court after the dude has buried you in a shallow grave?
Well, yes.
Like, do you still have to go through all of that stuff?
Well, the people that I know that are divorce lawyers, my God, it's a tough job. Believe it or not, it's not everyone acting their best.
No, it is very difficult. Nobody likes it, except for the people getting paid for it.
Live from your grave.
Hey there, podcast listener. Have you ever been listening to Wizard and the Bruiser and thought to yourself, I wish I could see just how fat Jake and Holden are in real life?
Don't lie. We know all about your weird inside thoughts, listeners.
Well, now you can make that dream a reality, because WizBrew and Page 7 are going on tour.
Austin, Dallas, Milwaukee, Chicago, Minneapolis,
D.C., Philly, Brooklyn, San Francisco, L.A.
Nowhere is safe from an all-new show we're calling Release the Butthole Cut.
Ew. Come join your fellow LPN fans for a night of pop culture chaos that's fun for the whole family, assuming your family consists of equally broken weirdos in their 30s.
It's going to be a blast. Tickets are on sale right now at lastpodcastnetwork.com. Go now!
There's VIP meet and greet passes available as well, in case you want to get, a little extra close, especially personal.
I legally have to clarify that there is no sexual element involved.
I mean, unless,
Okay, geez, Jake. All right, stop winking. All right, buddy?
It's Page 7 and Wizard and the Bruiser live. Go to lastpodcastnetwork.com for dates and tickets.
Speaking of divorces, let's talk about marriage. This was a love story between two beautiful dolls and a man, but also it involves a crime, and I must ask, what's the crime here? A man was arrested for marrying two sex dolls in a bizarre wedding at the holiest Buddhist site. So his name is Zari Ong.
He married two dolls to each other.
Two dolls to one another. Okay. So apparently he was a cult leader and he has seven others. So the cult leader was with seven others when security guards stopped them with the strange mail order figures.
Why?
They then set up a marquee into the compound's parking lot instead to perform the ritual.
Why, though?
I don't know. The Burmese Ministry of Religious Affairs and Culture officials said in a statement, "We have filed a case against Zari Ong and the group for defamation of the Buddhist religion." I feel like they kind of need to leave this guy alone.
Yeah, I don't know.
Both dolls were reportedly brought from China and stood 5'5" tall, 5 inches, 5 feet tall, with big breasts, brown hair, brown eyes.
Big breasts. I like how they put that in immediately.
And made up of EVO skeleton. So I don't know what the crime is.
I don't know.
But anyway, apparently you can't marry these people.
I feel like you and I, in a way, are men out of time. Because I think of these things, and I'm just like, who could this possibly affect? The gimp guy. Who could that possibly fuck with? Like, in my mind, isn't that the sign of freedom? That you could do these things? Like, yes, I guess it must fuck with their, like, religious beliefs. Like, that's what they're saying. But I don't know. I guess you can be arrested for it there. But still, like, it's just two dolls. It's like, meanwhile, like, can they get married to a 9-year-old girl and fill the 9-year-old with child? Is it one of those where it's like you can marry a child all day as long as it's married, you can fuck it? Right? Well, is that what they're talking about?
I would be. I think that that would be quite bad. So in June, a tourist climbed a sacred tree on the Paradise Isle of Bali and was fined in order to pray for forgiveness. So it just seems like they have a really spiritual version of law enforcement. And one of the punishments is that you have to pray for forgiveness, which I guess is actually nicer than what we do here, I suppose.
Well, then jail, I guess, but still, like, because then you have to internalize it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean? But, like, then you have to be like, now thank me for punishing you. And it's like, I hate you, though, but I hate you.
They're just really strict over there. Local police said that the dude that was in the tree wasn't aware it was considered sacred to all the islanders. And he claimed that he climbed the tree to make personal online content in line with his hobby.
Oh, yeah. Arrest him. Like, fuck so, that. Yeah, honestly, now I'm coming around to the other side. Yeah, arrest that guy. Well, you're making TikToks. Like, you should be arrested if you climb on a sacred tree.
Yeah, I get it. Seems like it's not the fact that they married two sex dolls. It's because they did it on this site.
Oh,
that's apparently too good but for sex dolls to find love on.
It does seem that that's why they were doing it there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
like,
if your
it
religion,
seems like that's what they try to do. So they
your religion
it
has
to be
strong enough to be able to handle that.
Seriously, if your God can't handle two dolls getting married to each other, how the fuck is it going to deal with all the wars?
There's a lot of other stuff out there.
A lot of other stuff. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, or maybe I'm crazy. Maybe this whole fucking world's gone mad, Kissel. And maybe it's just you and I that are the last sane men left. What if that's true? It's just you and me on an island fucking each other.
Ah, yes.
We couldn't figure out how to make the food. And so we just have to fucking fuck until we died.
Oh, I could make some food. I'll make some conch.
Honestly, conch is very difficult because it's very easy to dry out. And the shells are very big.
That's a toss-up question. A man with a micro penis or a man with a penis that looks like a conch that can never fully get aroused. Who do you want more?
Conch.
All right.
Because I feel like the micro penis also, sometimes it hurts your attitude.
It really, honestly.
You can really put a cramp in your style.
I know the few micro penis fellas that I know, they did fall into some interesting traps.
Yeah, they get ornery.
They do get ornery, and they tend to go down some. They watch a lot of videos on what it means to be a man.
Side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. Okay. If you have a micro penis, we cherish you here.
Absolutely. Also, you got a tongue. You got 10 fingers. Even if you have two fingers.
Use your feet.
Not to mention all these toys out there
Lick
nowadays.
Lick the fucking asshole. There's so many toys. Yeah, penis, honestly. Doing? Yeah, what are you doing? You fucking...
I'm almost jealous of a man with a micro, because you can attach anything to it, and you can have a whole series of different sizes.
Oh, wow.
Which isn't that fun.
I'm glad we got to hear.
Absolutely. All right, is it time for Hero of the Week?
I think so.
Okay, this week's Hero of the Week, it's horrible what they're doing to this man. So there's a groundkeeper, and he works at the White House. Did I do this already?
I don't know.
Dale Haney. And
he's at the White House.
He's been the groundkeeper for 50 fucking years, right? And do you know what they gave him?
What?
A tree. So he's Hero of the Week, but I just feel like also, so a 50-year White House groundkeeper is surprised with an elm tree. It was planted in his honor, but that's more
it was
work.
Like my fucking, I used to have a very, like, you know, like a big time agent, and their big thing was that, like, you know, instead of sending gifts, right, they'd always send like, and so we've donated in your name to blah, blah, blah. And I almost want to be like, send me a gift. You know, I'll do it. Like, you got the money to buy me a crazy gift. I've made you money all year. Mm-hmm. Why don't you buy me something like fun instead of this like letter? Like, I get you gave it to the kids with fucking backwards knees fucking foundation or whatever. That's fine.
Well, that does matter, of course. But
still,
anyway,
like, give this man a gift. You know, like, I know the tree's good, but technically he's got to go water the tree.
He's got to take care of the tree. Exactly. It's like giving somebody a dog and then breaking up with them. So Jill and Joe Biden, they were out there. Nothing else is going on. So they were out
there. He doesn't even know that he did this, right? He doesn't know what he went out there. And it's like, he's talking to the tree, just being like, I hope I secure your vote. Like, he has no idea what happened.
Well, Because he was just out in the back digging, and they're like, well, let's swing this into a photo op. Let's put a tree there and pretend like old Uncle Joe doesn't just go digging in the backyard. Which actually, if you were a president, why not? Have fun with it. It's your lawn. I'd go in the front lawn every single day of the White House in my underwear.
Oh,
I'd have my little
thing
and be like, you're looking at me. This is my house.
I'm looking at you. This is my fucking house. I would absolutely all day sit in a fucking folding chair out front heckling people.
Absolutely.
I'd just be like, you're dumb, looking fat, you know, like having fun, just enjoy myself.
I mean, a man of the people indeed. So anyway.
And people would come and high five me because they were like, I just got roasted by fucking President Z-Bot.
There you go. Jill Biden described Haney as one of the most beloved people here again. So they gave him a tree for him to work on.
So we gave him a very skinny little man. And yep. I hope he can talk to the skinny man, because when I tried to, that little man wouldn't answer me.
Yes,
wouldn't
indeed.
Answer me. Cool and, pop. Come on.
And to give a little self-worth here on Haney, he says, Haney told the president that the elm tree will eventually provide shade. So, quote, Commander and I can sit out there this summer.
50 years from now. Joe Biden's going to be long dead before that thing's making
they
shade.
They say it's going to be 200 years the elm tree will live.
Well, that's cool. Still,
it's the Haney tree.
It's not, but the thing is that it'd be nice if it was like making fruit or something that he could pick and then he could sell.
Yeah. They also do the shovel. They use gold shovels, which I always think is stupid.
Gold is very malleable money. Well, you know what? Good for this guy.
Dale Haney. There you go.
Really good for this guy.
Absolutely. There's also there's a dad who had a really great Halloween costume as well. And that was Kieran King. He decorated his house real good.
Perfect.
It was cool. All right.
Here we go. Let's do some listener emails. It's an email from one of the precious listeners. And I say thank you. Thank you, listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Come. This is about UFOs. I was hanging out at my friend's house about 10 years ago. It was a typical night over at her house, which means we're sucking fucking 100 of were drinking SoCo and setting each other on fire.
No, that's not SoCo. What he said. My
that's
goodness.
Not what he
Too sweet. Too and sweet.
Put in there. We had a fire going in her spacious backyard with a field of corn to the back of us.
Oh.
Her mother was hanging out with us, which was nice because she was actually one of the cooler parents I'd ever met. However, she had a severe case of lupus and she was rarely able to go into the sun because it would trigger an immune response, right?
Yeah.
So at night was the only time she could come outside and hang with us. So she was the real Batman.
Yeah, she is cool, Mom. I mean, she's kind of forced to be Night Mom.
Yes, Night Mom. Now, we were all sitting around the fire doing typical things teenagers and parents who get a kick out of scaring their kids like to do, sharing scary stories. So I was a little spooked when the second or third round of stories came. So when my friend's mom talked about seeing stuff in the sky, I was ready to leave because she had that lupus.
Oh.
Now, she told us that she had seen things in the sky at night and she was positive it was a UFO. Now, I had the chills, but did not believe her. But what happened next changed that. No sooner did she say that, and I'm not kidding, it was within 30 seconds, my friend's mother points and goes, look, on the horizon over the cornfield, you could see a bright white light. She told us to go into the house. My friend's heavy footsteps could be heard as she sprinted inside. Now, I was frozen in place until my friend's mother grabbed me by my collar and said, get the fuck in the house. There was no objection at this point. We made it to the house just in time as this thing comes up to the house in seconds. Through a window, we saw this thing come to a dead stop from a great speed. It reminded me of the way ships jump out of light speed in sci-fi shows. The thing just hovered over the backyard for what felt like hours. Unfortunately, I couldn't make out any shapes or anything due to how bright this light was. The thing that is extremely peculiar about all of this is that the windows to my friend's house were covered in a silver mylar type film to keep sunlight out due to my friend's mom having lupus.
Oh my goodness.
Now this light though, it was so bright, it shined through the protective film. I remember very specifically looking at my friend and her face being lit up like you were shining a flashlight on her. Then the craft shot off like a bullet and was gone. Now this story is one that I worry people will question. So as I stated previously, I don't tell people about it. The fear of being dismissed because I was a teenager when it happened or being seen as just a loon is enough to keep the story under wraps. However, I know that this isn't my imagination or some teenager who got wrapped up in the spooky stories because my friend's mom also saw it. She saw it
and was so scared she made me stay the night, which wasn't allowed because I was a boy and boys couldn't have sleepovers with girls because she knew what she saw.
Absolutely.
The last bit of evidence I needed was given to me the next day. My friend and I were up all night on her couch huddled together in fear. The morning came and we were still awake when her mother came out of her room. Her face, neck, and chest were all so red. She looked like she had had severe sunburn. She had some inflammation immune response, and it clicked in my head that this was from the light shining through the window because of her lupus.
No way.
Oh, yeah. The light was so bright, it triggered her lupus through the film on the windows.
That's
holy
creepy.
Shit.
Yeah, well,
that's
kind of creepy.
That's interesting, right?
Absolutely.
That's it. No one knows what it was. They didn't know what it was. They couldn't really see the shape of it because it was far too bright.
All right. Well, I hope everyone had a great Halloween.
Me too.
Hope everyone saw a ghost or a demon if you were in a shallow grave.
Or you
I hope
made
you got
a couple.
Out.
I hope you made some. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, because live your life every day trying to make sure that you, it's not about victim blaming, but try to be a person someone wouldn't want to bury in a shallow grave.
Cover yourself
you
in
know?
Soot or human
unable
feces.
Unable to be. I want you to love life out loud. Love out loud. Because if people see that you're too loud to be buried, it might be difficult. All right, you might be an introvert, but guess what? Introverts, real easy to fucking hit in the head with a shovel, throw in a shallow grave, because it gets so quiet.
Well, I think the introverts are the ones that do that.
But they're the ones perpetrating it. But the thing is that the introverts, because they don't talk and they just sit there judging, a lot of times people think that they, they don't even understand that they're gone. All of a sudden, they're in a shallow grave. Be louder. This is what it really is about. It's about announcing your presence. Laugh loudly. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, ho. Like, laugh, big laughs.
Yeah.
Because it is very difficult. Because you see, that person is exuberant, full of life.
Absolutely.
It's going to take a couple of swings of the shovel for me to take them down. It's going to take a lot of Tylenol PM for me to knock this person out. Because the whole time, they're going to be like, I'm sleepy.
Absolutely.
Anybody else sleepy? And then you find out that it gets leaked. That's the thing. So act like an extrovert for camouflage, but be the introvert inside of you until you know you for a fact you're out of a scenario where you could be buried alive.
Fantastic. That's right. Dom DeLuise, Judy Tenuta, never kidnapped. Both
Judy
Tenuta,
both dead though now. Unfortunately, love Judy Tenuta.
I love Dom DeLuise.
Judy Tenuta just died. It's really sad, actually.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Hope you're doing well. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magoozalations, everybody.
Well, I'll see you out there. I'll see you out there.
Oh, not in that one of those suits, I hope.
No, this is my outfit. This is my outside outfit.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.